Welcome to this week's edition of Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. Each week, I'll be discussing different issues and different ideas with entrepreneurs from Malta and overseas to help you change or start your own business. Welcome to this week's Interview with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Stephen Mintoff from a new company called Intact.
Hello, Monique. Thank you for having me, first of all. Yes, I personally, together with my colleagues, we're a team of four students. Well, now we just graduated from University of London, Royal Holloway. Thank you very much. And as part of our first year, the Diploma on Entrepreneurship, in fact, we obviously had to participate in the Young Enterprise, the J Young Enterprise here in Malta.
Okay.
Which was, for the university level, basically, you have to come up with a startup and It's you have to arrive to the limit of almost producing and almost selling. So you have to prepare everything and you stop right there for the time being.
So this is beyond just an idea on paper.
Exactly. We have to actually, you know, the business plan, accounts and everything which involves, you know, a startup business. And basically, I mean, it was really funny because when we met, we had just started the course and nobody knew each other. And our principal had told us literally team up, a team of four or five. And we were literally sitting next to each other. Okay, all right, we might as well. And we came up with this idea of it started off from a safety jacket for motorcyclists.
Okay.
But then when we had looked into the market, there was already something very similar, and obviously in Malta there's a bit of rise of motorcycle accidents.
Mm-hmm.
This was 2017, so unfortunately they've increased a bit as well. And we decided, you know, there's this little gap which should be addressed to provide more a peace of mind for mm-hmm. motorcyclists. And then I remember through the first stages of the competition, the judges had given us feedback to make it more relatable technology-wise as well. So we decided to sort of scrap the jacket and mm-hmm. make the system more technology and revolves around a smartphone application and sensors on the bike.
Okay. So what is it? What does it do?
Mainly, it's a system which functions through a smartphone application
mm-hmm.
and sensors stuck on the bike. And it automatically detects the journey of the motorcyclist.
Okay.
And if there's a collision or an accident occurs, it automatically calls emergency contacts.
Wow.
And provides a location. Because through some research we had done, and it's a continuous research really, but that many motorcyclists or relatives had stated that it takes around 45 minutes for help to arrive on the scene or until someone finds them. If they're riding on their own.
That's it, because you go off the beaten track, perhaps you're...
You know, so we wanted to try and make that an automatic process as much as possible. I mean, obviously traffic is a different situation, but at least it's on its way automatically. And basically that was the system itself. Obviously there's still a lot of refinement and research, because obviously there's so much advanced technology that something new comes up every day which could also be applied. We then, in 2017, we won the J Europe in Malta, the competition,
okay.
And then went to Helsinki to compete in the European challenge, which was around against 20 countries, if I'm not mistaken. And we won against 20 countries. So it was a good platform for us to sort of, you know, really believe in. We're very passionate and we believe in this project, but obviously the thing is we were up against, some of them were doctors and some of them were master students, and we were still in our first year. So we're like, we have no chance against these people. But it was a really good mm-hmm. foundation for us to give us, listen, you know, positive feedback and constructive feedback that we could apply.
Because you're learning other things, not just about the, you know, the Q&A that people come up with about
exactly.
the jacket
no,
itself,
I mean,
or the app itself, even just public speaking.
Exactly. I mean, this whole process, putting aside the startup and everything else, but throughout J and also throughout the course that we studied, we just learned how to, you know, like as you mentioned previously, like the accounts, how to meet people, the research. I mean, there are so many things which come into play that you don't even realize that, you know, make a lot of difference and are important.
Mm-hmm.
like we had no idea how to compile a business plan. I mean, obviously we learned how to do the structure, but it's still good for us to actually apply it then to something real, you know. So
yeah.
I think that was really helpful. I mean, if nothing came out of it, we learned, you know, sort of how to do that as well. But yes, I mean, the system is very technology based as well, and that is the tricky part, because apart from being costly, perhaps maybe to produce and protect, it's something which is always, I mean, you know, tech companies are everywhere. I mean, Malta's so small. I mean, we're up against many big companies, foreign companies as well. So I mean, so far we're still in the research process, and we're looking for investors and grants. We try to grab onto anything which could help us actually produce.
That's if it's something that could help either reduce accidents or be able to save people's lives.
Exactly.
By
I mean, accidents
times.
Are accidents, but at least we try to save people's lives and reduce, you know, any fatalities, and even just giving them a more peace of mind, even for their relatives, you know, at least. Unfortunately, in Malta, it's becoming a bit of a, you know, it's on the high, and we just want to try and reduce.
That's it. More people are using bikes because the traffic's so bad. And
exactly.
Then
but then obviously,
the traffic accidents are still rising.
The consequences as well. But yeah. I think, yes, it would be a very good product, a system, you know, and it's very tech, so it's very relatable not to nowadays as
so
well.
So, what's your background then? What are you into? What did you actually study?
So, as a course, the first year of the course was a diploma entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we had to learn obviously entrepreneurship and everything else that revolves around it, you know, accounts, managing, organization, people, leadership as well. So it was quite an interesting, you know, year to study all those. And then we had to move on to the BSc, the actual degree, sort of. And we just built on everything that we had just done in the diploma, you know, built on accounts, built on HR. We introduced to international markets as well. So we try to get a taste, you know, of everything mainly, which actually all contribute to all of these things. So it was very insightful for us to, you know, even when applying for jobs, even the fact to have experience, all right, in class for the degree, but then having Jay and the startup, it looks a bit like, you know, we know what we're talking about.
And you've worked as a team, because
that's
critical.
That is critical and challenging as well, especially with people you don't know. And I think, but at the same time, I think that was the positive side as well, because none of us were friends, and so we started as, you know, a clean
as you walk into a building, that's it. These are your new buddies.
But it's something which really resonated with us, even during our competition in Helsinki, that what they really liked about the team and the company was that they're very transparent as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listen, yes, maybe we don't have a product yet produced, but we want to get there. We're not trying to, you know, be someone who we're not, sort of, we need this and this, and we need this help. So I think the more honest and transparent, and listen, we need this, calling the help that you'd need, this is what makes it more attractable and successful, perhaps.
But why did you go down the motorbike safety route? How did you discover that aspect?
We had gone through a lot of brainstorming, and we had done also the Edward de Bono technique as well for the brainstorm.
The seven hats.
But I think exactly, obviously, ultimately, the main cause is trying to find something which is needed, perhaps not wanted, because you wouldn't know if you'd want something. But as I mentioned, we're realizing there had been a lot of accidents happening, and Malta was ranking quite high, and still is, and you're in Europe as a country which has quite a lot of motorcycle accidents. So we said maybe this could be a potential market or a gap which we could address, sort of. And abroad, obviously, they make use of bicycles and water sports, so it's something which could be also adapted to.
Of course.
I mean, for example, in Berlin, we had a startup event there in 2017, and they loved the idea for bicycles, because obviously there they use bikes.
Everybody,
everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's something which could be adapted to bicycles and other sports as well. So.
And it could go even further than that, in fact.
Yes,
sort
I mean,
of limitless.
To be fair, there are many other brands and like, for example, you know, big companies like Google and Apple, who have similar watches, for example, who do similar functions, But obviously that is why I want to address a particular situation for now, motorcycles perhaps, and then we see if, you know, if it catches on, then we could apply to...
We'll see if Google buy you.
Or exactly, I mean, that would be perhaps the that would be the perfect situation.
So,
I mean.
Mr. Google, we know you're listening. Alexa.
Otherwise. But yes, I mean, but as I mentioned, it's for now the business part is okay because we've got the plan, we've got the, you know, what we have to do. But now actually producing it is something which requires more time and money, obviously.
So the four of you, you're still the same team?
We're still the same team.
Are you all Maltese?
We're all Maltese. Obviously, we just graduated now all together in the same course. And it's interesting because all of us work in different fields. Like, one of us is in finance, one of us manages a company, one of us with insurance and marketing. So it's really, it's like a sort of, all of us have a bit of a taste.
That's fantastic, though. Really good mix.
Yes. I mean, the slight, not drawback, it's just finding the right person. Is the startup and ourselves as a team lack the tech person, like an engineer because none of us are engineers or application developers. But it's also, but it's even meeting people and talking about it and seeing what they think and if they'd be on board. It's already interesting to actually talk about it because it sounds really, you know, it's just not just an idea anymore. It's something which...
So are you at the stage where you can sort of hire someone or there's no money being made because the product's not really there yet?
I mean, we've got funds, but not enough funds perhaps to hire someone.
Okay.
Depends, obviously, because if we're looking for someone who'd want then... to be part of the company rather than something else.
Mm-hmm.
But we could also maybe hire someone for a specific amount of hours and which will help us build it or at least a prototype. But yes, if we find someone who's willing to join us as a co-founder, for example, then that would be fantastic because he or she would be on board as well. So,
but even at the university here, perhaps that's something, because a lot of people forget the university is obviously rich of bright young things.
Yes, exactly.
And
I mean,
you can go to different departments and
ask
for help.
In fact, we continuously like put adverts on LinkedIn and even like sort of we target groups of engineers or developers who are still students like us, ultimately, because... You know, we could sort of grow together and something, you know, might come out of it as well.
And sometimes they need a project for their engineer.
Exactly.
And
so,
this could be something they can put some hours towards.
In fact, way back when we had started off the competition in 2017, we had partnered up with a student who was prototyping a device for cars and motorcycles. So, exactly. And he did really well in his thesis abroad. So, it worked hand in hand with that. So,
and that's it.
So
people forget that when you're an entrepreneur, obviously, when you're starting up a business, you don't have all of the funds available that you need.
Exactly.
You're not paying yourself a proper salary. You're going without stuff. You're working at stupid hours because you generally have another job. But you have to be really smart about how you fund your business, and it's not necessarily with money.
And something we've learned throughout these 3 years is the fact that we're constantly, especially in the first 2 years, we had really like gone to events and pitching. I mean, sometimes we don't win anything, but at least you're out there and people are seeing, you know, they might contact you because they've seen you somewhere. So you just really have to put yourself out there and, you know, at least exhibit what you've got. At least, maybe not everything, but keeping some trade secret and stuff.
Exactly,
but at least people know that you're there, and it could help.
What about things like Transport Malta and people like that, or even an insurance company?
I mean, we also met up with the CEO of Mater Dei because they were recently digitalizing their softwares and systems for ambulance tracking and accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Falzon had really sort of loved the idea that if it had to happen, he'd support the project because they could sort of, you know...
get better numbers.
Yes, and I think they could incorporate it in their own system because we had gone to a small tour at how they receive the calls and how they track the ambulance. And they have this huge room with a huge screen, and each ambulance obviously has a tracker. And it would be fantastic to see, you know,
who's the closest,
and if our system could detect, they could directly go there on the spot, you know. So, but yes, it all involves a lot of, it's very tech heavy, so...
repair.
But it's interesting as well.
So are all of you involved on a day-to-day basis? Do you have specific areas of responsibility? Like you said, you all have different backgrounds.
Yes, I mean, obviously, we all have a full-time job, so mm-hmm. this is our part-time situation. But for example, in my case, I took the CEO role and we try to manage everything and make mm-hmm. sure that we're all working together. But we've got one on marketing, one on product assurance. We've got Nicole who's on finance, for example. But ultimately, there's no really one person in charge. I mean, yes, you'll overlook some stuff, uh-huh. but if she needs help with finance, we're going to help her with finance. If mm-hmm. someone needs help with marketing, we're all going to pitch in. Ultimately, we all studied the same.
So
we're supposed to be able to. But that's also the dynamic that you have to.
And how do you make it work? Talking of dynamics, how do you make it work when you all have full-time jobs and lives? You know, you're all young people as well. How do you fit it in?
The past 3 years during the course, it wasn't, as I'm saying, it was easy focusing on the startup because mm-hmm. we were only students and we just had that.
Uh-huh.
But now, obviously, as you're mentioning, everyone has their job. We finish at 6 or 5, you know, so they're long days. But that is where you have to sort of listen. If we're passionate about this, then we have to at least a few hours a day, or you know, on the weekends we have mm-hmm. to meet up and or at least discuss. We sometimes Skype call as well,
uh-huh.
because to find a slot where everyone is available,
it's crazy. Yeah.
And we're only 4, so but yes, I mean you have to really you have to dedicate. I mean, if you really want it to work, then we have to try, and even if it's a slow pace, but at least
do you have like a regular slot? Do you say every Monday at 7 we do this? Or
We try and meet up perhaps maybe once or twice. Right now, we finished last May, so it's quite all new. Mm-hmm. But we try and meet up maybe once or twice every month mm-hmm. at least, and we gather what we've done in that
so
month. Because everyone goes to meetings or something for half an hour or an hour. So then we all gather, let's mm-hmm. where we're at sort of, and we try and lay out everything as where we are. But we're always looking out for, not competitions, more like pitching and networking.
And startup awards, that
because
kind
those
of
are
thing.
Those are really just to make contacts ultimately, because that really helps, you know, like uh-huh. at the beginning we didn't know anyone, but throughout these years we've made the contacts and we've met people, so it's uh-huh. good to put yourself out there as well.
So if you've just joined us, you're listening to me, Monique Chambers, interviewing Stephen Mintoff from Intact, which is a safety feature app, I guess you would call it.
Yes, a system.
A system for people on bikes, motorbikes, that if they have an accident, they can alert the emergency services.
Automatically.
Fantastic. So you can also alert your nearest and dearest, you know, if you want your mum
to
know.
Yes, that was the idea as well. Apart from providing your location mm-hmm. and the alert to emergency contacts, the driver could choose an option of alerting a relative or a friend.
Okay.
So at least, you know, you have
somebody else
both
there
options.
To, yeah, bring your pajamas.
It's interesting as well, because if for example, there was just a minor accident and the driver is okay,
mm-hmm.
You know, or he skidded and he just got up immediately, he could switch off the alert.
Okay.
So there isn't a false. But if, for example, the alert keeps on going for 20 seconds and the driver is not in a condition to switch it off, then it means that there's, you know, it's a critical condition or situation. So,
and I was just thinking, like, how this works. The research must be quite incredible. So you've even got down to the knowing that if he hasn't responded within 20 seconds.
Yes. I mean, obviously, hopefully, the more we advance, we could add more features, you know, of detecting the heart rate, like through the smartwatches as well, or to the helmet. But we try as much as possible meet up with motorcyclists or, you know, engineers of bikes and of sensors to get to know exactly these techie stuff of gyroscopes and, you know, acceleration and stuff. But it's interesting because some stuff we had no idea about. Mm. So, I mean, none of us ride a motorcycle ourselves.
Definitely not now, obviously.
No. But we do have relatives, close relatives, so it's good to sort of, you know, have some knowledge about this because you just see the bike, but what it consists of really is.
So are you at the point of prototyping?
We're getting there. We just need to finalize, you know, a tech person, uh-huh. and you know that will be our next step, obviously. But
then we have to go and like knock people off their bikes so that you know,
some testing. But yes, the prototype would be the next step for sure to actually see, even actually approaching investors. Mm-hmm. They'd want to see
it's
something.
Working.
I mean, we had a beta application.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't connected to anything. It was just an application to see how it works. So ideally, yes, that is the next thing.
And this program. Is something that the bike would have gone at a particular angle and not gone
exactly.
back up.
Exactly. It's all about this gyroscope sensor, uh-huh. which detects the fall
Are
and
you making
speed.
Me dizzy? Stop doing that.
It's just, it's interesting to...
And then you stay there. If you stay down, then the alert goes off.
If you reach a specific angle, then it alerts.
So is it the bike or the helmet or the jacket or the phone?
So no more jacket because it's already
That's
something
gone,
which...
Right?
And besides, I mean, if a driver forgets to wear the jacket, then it defeats the whole purpose.
In the summer, you probably...
So that's why we thought about the mobile application, because it's something which people would have on them
always
on and maybe a sensor on the bike installed, mm-hmm. which is always there, you know, uh-huh. and you don't have to forget about it. Or
I just had a vision of a jacket, you know, doing that automatic jacket.
And they do exist. And but as you mentioned, exactly, what if someone forgets it or it's summer and it's quite a heavy armor. So, but yes, We originally had a number of sensors on the mm-hmm. bike, but then we had met up with an engineer and he told us you could actually reduce it to one.
Brilliant.
To actually reduce the cost and also have one which is more efficient and mm-hmm. could do all of these, you know, so exactly. There are so many advancements every day uh-huh. that, you know, today something might come out which could really
help us the future. And in terms of... going to market now, so you're waiting to do a prototype.
Yes.
Then you would hope for we need more investors, I guess, to
but
get
then
to that
the prototype would help us to exhibit our work mm-hmm. and exactly as you mentioned, like approach big companies maybe who would be interested to help us out. If not buy it, they'd help us to, you know, collaborate
do a bit more.
And then they could put it up.
So there's got to be lots of people, road safety agencies,
insurances,
chance, insurance
because
companies,
like, you know, like the ones they do have for the cars, like the ones which detect how much speed and how much it could be used for motorbikes
like
as
that.
Well.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, and if they can help, like I said, reduce either accidents themselves or reduce fatalities, that's got to be a
ultimately
good thing.
That's the goal
yeah.
to reduce, you know, as many fatalities as much as possible. So.
And in terms of the JAYE program that you'd spoken about, so mm-hmm. you sort of had to do that as part of your university.
Yes, it was part of the course, mm-hmm. and obviously it went very well with the whole diploma in entrepreneurship.
So what does it teach you? What does JAYE actually teach you on a you know,
what,
the ground?
What we found very helpful and useful was the fact that we're not just learning in class theory
mm-hmm.
and writing essays. We're actually applying it into a real life situation. And then we had many exhibitions at Tinia Point, for example, as part of the competition, where you have to exhibit your work mm-hmm. and you meet the judges and you meet customers and the public, you know, who'd ask some interesting questions that mm-hmm. you would never thought about before. But yes, we learned how to apply what we're learning in class, how to run a business to a real situation, and I think Jay really helped us with that.
And did you have mentors and support from big organizations?
Yes, we had some of the partners and the sponsors of Jay themselves who were also sort of part of the whole judging process and mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
But each group is assigned a mentor, which could help us.
Okay.
And they assist you in all the things you have to do to gear up for the final competition.
Competition. And then you said you'd gone European wide as well. Had
yes.
you learned things from that about the different way things are done in different countries?
Yes, I mean, it was still J, but it was the European and worldwide enterprise. And that was the challenging part, because then obviously they need different criteria. So we had to prepare a different proposal, mm-hmm. a different business plan. And obviously, but it's usually because we come from such a small country that you automatically become a bit intimidated, like we can't go against, you know, big countries like Germany. But we actually managed to, uh-huh. you know, sort of proof to ourselves that we if we really put the work in, we've got what it takes as much as they do. So, but to, the same competition we had in Malta was crammed into 3 days in Helsinki, and we had to do an exhibition, mm-hmm. we had a pitching, then we had to do like a live presentation to an audience of, I think it was 100 people, which the judges will be involved as well. But it was a really interesting experience, like, just meeting the people and foreigners was already a huge step for us. So.
And that's it, because I'm imagining that there'll be different rules and regulations in each country,
the questions
you're asked...
Exactly, some of them...
You can refine your product with that kind of information.
And they mentioned, like, what about privacy and people's, you know...
Location,
So they're very... Which stuff, which sometimes maybe don't think about, but it's good
I think everybody knows where we are at any time.
yes, but it's good to know, because every country has its own... worldwide one day, you know, you have to really consider...
It will go worldwide.
Exactly. You really have to consider all these...
Different nuances. So. In Italy, kids ride bikes much younger than they do in Malta, for example. Teenagers,
Some countries have different age for motorcycle license as well, so you have to see how it adapts to them as well.
Those sorts of things all help. And what's the one big thing you've taken away from the whole experience? Do you think that's it, I'm going to do this or another startup, or having a day job, do you think, no, actually I quite like...
I think what's keeping the focus on the startup and the experience of Jay, the course, I think is just, you have to make it interesting, especially when you're running your own business or a startup or working with people. You have to make it interesting for yourself, and you have to really sort of be passionate about it, because ultimately we could have just given up. Say, listen, all right, we won, but that's it.
Yeah,
but
see ya.
If you really believe in your product or your company, then you should, you know, drive yourself and the others even forward.
I like that, drive yourself. That was Stephen Mintoff talking to me, Monique Chambers, at this week's entrepreneurship interview. And intact is, remind us again in your sentence, because your sentence is much more eloquent than mine, what does intact do?
So intact provides a safety system for motorcyclists whilst riding on the road.
So fantastic. So if you tilt too far for too long,
there's help on its way.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Stephen
Mintoff
from Intact.
Thank you for listening to this week's Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. I'd also like to thank Carmela Gregg and Redent Abdillah for the production of this show. The show is aired every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and repeated every Friday at 7:30 p.m.